just a place to start. So you find your place there in Matthew chapter number 6, and I'm going to read in verse number 19 through 21 just to get started. And then it's going to be another one of those, what I call a Bible study. And it's just an important subject that I wanted to take since I finished up 2 Peter, or at least I came down to the end of it. I wanted to take some things that I thought were important. Like last week we had God manifest in the flesh. Sunday before that we had Sabbath or Sunday, which day you assemble together on. So today I'm going to take a subject, and I'm going to try to show you what the Bible says about tithing. Is it right to tithe? You know, the word tithe means tenth. So I want to show you what the Bible says about it, and you'll feel good about it. You'll feel good about it. If you don't give anything, you'll feel less guilty today when I'm finished. And you might be surprised what I have to say about it, what the Bible teaches about it. It doesn't matter what I think about it. It matters what God says about it and what God wants. Here in Matthew chapter number 6 and verse number 19, it says, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." So we want to talk about the treasure, your heart, and all that, and tithing. Is it right to tithe, and what should we do about it? So I just want to teach you about what it says, all right? So let me pray, and then we'll go on. Father in heaven, we come to thy throne of grace. Dear Lord, we thank you for the privilege to assemble together. Thank you, God, for your people who come together week after week. And God, the privilege it is to be here and to stand here. God, I pray that you'd help me to be a blessing to your people, and I pray that their hearts would be open, all of us, God. And we pray the Spirit of God would be our teacher, and just help me, please. And God, help us to be built up in the faith. And thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn in your Bibles from Matthew. Go over to 2 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. I want to read a verse and say a few words about it before I go on. 1 Corinthians chapter number 10, it'll be verse number 32. 1 Corinthians chapter number 10 and verse number 32. Look what it says. It says, "Give none offense, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God." Again, give none offense, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God. The reason I'm reading that is this. God does not always lump everybody together. The world is divided up into groups of people, three groups of people. Today, you are either a Jew, you're a Gentile, or you're the church of God, part of the church of God. In other words, you're a Jew, you're a descendant of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob over there, or you're a Gentile, that's anybody else, or you're saved, you're a Christian, church of God. So see, when God speaks to people, most of the time, he speaks to one of those groups of people. And when you read the Bible, then you need to find out who God is talking to. Is he talking to the Jews as a nation? Is he talking to the Gentiles, everybody else? Or is he talking to Christians? Is he talking to the church of God? That church of God, that's a phrase for for us as Christians. So who's he talking to? You need to find that out whenever you're reading the Bible, you see. So I want to give you today what the Bible says about tithing. As I said, the word tithing means one-tenth. We should try to get to the Bible position on giving. And so therefore we should and we need to know what the Bible says about the subject of tithing or about giving, meaning one-tenth. Is it biblical or is it not biblical? Are we doing the right thing? If Jesus Christ were to come in this morning, walk down the aisle here, like like it says in the Revelation chapter number 2 and 3, there's seven letters to seven churches. And Jesus would speak to these churches, and he says this. He said, I have somewhat against thee. Now, I wonder if Jesus Christ came in this morning and sat down here and talked to us for a few minutes, would he say this? I have somewhat against thee. And he would say, I know thy works, and I know thy labor, and I know this, and I know that, but here's what's wrong. Here's what's wrong in your church, here's what's right, and here's what you need to do about it. Now, that's what he says to those churches there, those seven churches in the book of Revelation. I memorized those churches a long time ago, but I'll not go over that with you. So what we want to try to do, as much as possible, we want to make our church a biblical church. And so that's what I want to try to do this morning. You know, a couple of sermons a year on giving, should not bother people. We should not be covetous because Jesus said there in Matthew 6:21, y'all excuse me, maybe after a while I'll get my voice. That's one of the problems of getting old. Your voice gets old too. Can't help it. I used to have a loud voice. They could hear me a half a mile away. Well, you can only maybe hear me a block away now. Not quite a half a mile or a mile. Sometimes I go out and I have cows that go out in the cow lot, you know, in the pasture. They go out in the pasture. I go out and I holler at the cows. And a lot of times they'll come in, they'll look up and, you know, I've got this call I give them. And they'll come in a lot of times, but then sometimes they just ignore me, you know. So Jesus said in Matthew 6:21, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. There's a lot in the Bible about giving. There's more in the Bible about baptism. There's more in the Bible about a lot of different subjects. But here's the thing. There's nothing in the Bible, just to sidetrack just a little bit here, nothing in the Bible how to take up an offering. You know, we pass the plates here. We do that for people's convenience. And I guess if I'm honest, I would say also maybe to just remind people to give, you know, maybe jog your memory or something like that. But I heard there's no right way to take up an offering. I mean, I know some churches that have a box in the back of the church there. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with passing the plates if you want to do that. We just do that for people's convenience, I guess, and maybe a few other reasons. But no right or wrong way on how to do that. I do believe in tithing. I've been practicing it for many, many years. Not just me, but my wife and I both have been practicing it for many years. I remember one time, just to tell you one of my little sins, my wife and I, we weren't tithing one time along. Long time ago, and we were sitting and talking, and we decided together that we were going to start back to doing the right thing. We were going to tithe. And I'll tell you what, folks, I don't know if this has happened to you or not, but for my wife and me, it just seemed like a dark cloud lifted over our head. And see, here's the thing. I don't believe Christians can be cursed. I'm going to show you that in the Bible here this morning. From Malachi chapter number 3, you know, you're cursed with a curse. For not giving, I don't believe that. See, I don't believe Christians can be cursed with a curse. But it just seemed to us, just for us, that a dark cloud was lifted over our head and we've never stopped since. And so I believe it. I've practiced on it for many, many years. Every penny I get, I try to give God some of it. I try to give God a tithe. I even, you folks, you church, you buy the gas for my car. Well, I try to tithe on that. And the little paycheck that you give me, and I'm not complaining, you give me enough, you're never going to have to pay me another penny more. But I tithe on all of that, every bit of it, just because I want to. I mean, if I didn't tell you, you would never know, you know. I just do it because I want to, because I love God, and I want to do it. I don't know who tithes here and who don't. I know everybody doesn't because our offerings are not very big. But there's offering envelopes up there. I could go look through them, but I've never have looked through them. I don't. There's been some laying on the desk up there for a week. I haven't gone through them. I don't know who gives and who doesn't. That way, it's not going to bother me on what I say. So anyway, there's a lot in the Bible about giving. I just want to show you through the Bible what it means. The tithe. In the New Testament, you should give to God because you are already blessed. If you are saved this morning, you are blessed. The Bible says in Ephesians 1:3, you don't need to turn there, I'll give you the verse. But it says in Ephesians 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Those are spiritual blessings. Most of us have been blessed with lots of, you know, material blessings too. Did you know the poorest people in the United States are richer than most of the rest of the world? Those people who are considered to be in poverty in the United States. Now see, you're blessed to be here in the United States of America. It is a blessing to be an American. That's my opinion. I believe it's a privilege to live in the United States of America, and the poorest people here are richer than most of the rest of the world, you see. But here he's talking about spiritual blessings. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, you see. We should not tithe. We should not give, hoping to hit the jackpot and a bunch of money will come our way. If it did, fine. But that's not why you give. And by the way, I said you've already been blessed because you're saved. You should never get over being saved. You should never get over, man, I'm thankful. I'm glad that I'm saved. I've been saved 48 years, and I'm more glad today that I'm saved than I was that Sunday afternoon. I think I can say that. Where my wife and I got saved, and anyway. So don't ever get over being saved. And you should not give or tithe thinking that you're going to hit the jackpot or something like that. Or that a whole bunch of money will come your way. You should not sow $51 or $57 every week or every month to some television preacher who has three or four houses worth $4 or $5 million each and a couple of airplanes, hoping that you're going to hit the jackpot. I hope you don't do that. I wouldn't give them a penny. You do not have to do that to be blessed. You don't have to do that to be blessed, nor should you. You should not give that away. But everyone should give. The Bible says, everyone, let us all take part. Let us all give. I want to take you through the Bible. I couldn't give you all of them in our time here this morning, but I'll try to put them in order. I'm going to go to Genesis. You can start over there. Go to the book of Genesis now, chapter number 14. Then I'm going to go to Leviticus. Then about four or five more places in the Old Testament, and then one or two places in the New Testament. Genesis, the first book in the Bible, chapter number 14. Here's the first man in the Bible who ever tithed that we know about. He's the first one that it's ever recorded that he tithed. His name is Abraham. This is Genesis chapter 14. And look at verse number 17. Let me read a few verses there for you. The first man who ever tithed. There could have been others. There could have been others. Before I read that, look up here for a minute. Let me tell you something. We don't know where tithing started. It could have started in the Garden of Eden. I don't know. There could have been others who tithed, but it doesn't say. It does say about Abraham that Abraham tithed. I don't have time to tell you all about the circumstances surrounding Abraham there, but he's the first man that it is recorded that is tithed. And it says in Genesis chapter 14 and verse number 17, and the king of Sodom went out to meet him after his return from the slaughter of Chedorlaomer, and of the kings that were with him at the valley of Sheba, which is the king's dale. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was priest of the Most High God. It looks to me like Melchizedek there is an appearance of Jesus Christ, before he became flesh. It's an appearance of him. It's what it looks like to me. And Abraham had been out, and he'd rescued his nephew Lot with his 318 trained servants. He'd been out and rescued him. He came back, and he brought a bunch of stuff back with him that he'd taken from those who kidnapped his. And then here's what he did in verse number 19. And Melchizedek said, and he blessed him and said, blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thine hand. And he gave him, that's Abraham, tithes of all. So Abraham tithed from the spoils, it looks like, that he brought back. He gave him tithes of all, 10% of what he brought back. He gave it to Melchizedek, who the Bible says there was the king of Salem, which is another name for Jerusalem, before it was Jerusalem. So it says he gave him tithes of all, and verse number 21, and the king of Sodom said unto Abram, give me the persons, and take the goods to thyself. And Abram said to the king of Sodom, I have lift up mine hand unto the Lord, the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth, and I will not take from a thread even to a shoe latchet, and that I will not take anything that is thine, lest thou shouldest say, I have made Abram rich. And it goes on. That's the first man in the Bible who ever tithed. Two or three things I would bring out about that. The Bible does not say where tithing started, but as I said, Abraham knew about it. Abraham knew about it, and it could have come all the way from the Garden of Eden. God evidently is the one who told him about it. And number two, this is not under the law. This is before the law, Moses' law. It's before that. Abraham probably, or I'm sure that he did this voluntarily, willingly. Nobody had to make him. Nobody had to make him do it. He was not forced or threatened. Abraham here is acknowledging God's grace in giving him victory over his enemies. And verse number 23 tells us there that he did not want to enrich himself at someone else's expenses. I never have wanted to do that. I've always wanted to do my part. And I told you this before, just bear with me and let me tell you one more time. In 1965, in November, I joined the United States Army. You know why? Because I wanted to do my little part. I wasn't a hero, but I wanted to do what I could. And so I joined the Army. Anywhere I am, in a church, I'm going to do my part. I'm not going to take a free ride. I'm not going to take a free ride on somebody else. If we didn't have to have a building, if we didn't have to have property and all that kind of stuff, y'all want to have church in your house, you know, if you want to do all that kind of stuff, you don't want to have a preacher, the men's going to take turns, you know, you don't need all that kind of stuff, okay, you don't need any money. But the Bible says that we're supposed to give, we are supposed to assemble together, we're supposed to have all of these kinds of things, you see. You're supposed to support those, I always have a problem talking about myself, but you're supposed to support those who communicate to you the gospel, the word of God, see. So anyway, that's the first man who ever tithed in the Bible. Turn now then to the third book in the Bible, the book of Leviticus, and go to chapter number 27. Leviticus chapter number 27, be towards the end. It'll be verse number 30, I believe, is where we're going to read. Leviticus chapter number 27 and verse number 30. Leviticus chapter 27 and verse number 30. Here's what it says. I'll begin reading. It says, and all the tithe of the land. Now you need to pay attention to what that said right there. The tithe of the land. In the Old Testament, what they gave, the tithe, was not money, but it was crops. It was agriculture. So he says, all the tithe of the land, whether the seed of the land or the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy unto the Lord. See, there's the tithe, the 10%, the first part. It has to be the first part. And if a man will at all redeem aught of his tithe, he shall add thereto the tenth, the fifth part thereof. In other words, what he's saying there, if you live too far from the place where you have to bring the tithes, you sell it and exchange it for money, you're going to give money instead of the crops, then you have to add 20% to it. So that's a total of 30%. Verse number 32, and concerning the tithe of the herd, or of the flock, even of whatsoever passeth under the rod, the tenth shall be holy unto the Lord. You see, now we couldn't do that here today. We couldn't do that here today. We don't do that here today. We do not have a place. We do not have a storehouse. We don't have a big storehouse built on the building here where we can store fruits and vegetables and have a cow lot out here, you know, where we got cattle and all. We can't do that. I'm giving you what tithing is in the Old Testament. He said, verse number 33, he shall not search whether it be good or bad, neither shall he change it. And if he change it at all, then both it and the charge thereof shall be holy. It shall not be redeemed. Verse number 34, these are the commandments. Notice, commandments. In other words, it has to be done. They have no choice. Let me read the rest of that verse. These are the commandments which the Lord commanded Moses for the children of Israel in Mount Sinai. All right? Here's what he's saying. All of this tithing that he's talking about, he's talking to a particular people. Like I told you from 1 Corinthians 10:32, Jew, Gentile, Church of God, he's talking to the Jews here, the nation of Israel. That's who he's talking to here. There are no Christians at this time, see. So what he's talking about here, he's saying you're supposed to bring your tithe. It's the law. It is a commandment from God. If they don't do it, God will starve them out. That's not you. That's not you, you see. So he's talking to the nation of Israel. Here's what happened. When the nation of Israel came about, they are the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God took, and then the 12 tribes of Jacob. One of those tribes is the tribe of Levi. And God took that one tribe aside, and he set it apart. And he said, and then he took two other tribes, and he made them take Levi's part, Levi's place there, so there'd be 12. And then Levi is a set-apart tribe, and their job, they are called the priest. And the priests, they have a particular job, and they don't get any land when the land is divided up. They have no inheritance. They don't get that. Everybody else, they have a piece of land out here in the promised land. Like a state of New Mexico. They've got a piece of land out there. All the tribes except one, the tribe of Levi. And these Levites, their job is to minister and serve the people in the tabernacle and in the temple. And these people, they offer sacrifices. They kill the sacrifices, the animals, all that kind of stuff. They take care of the temple. They take it down. They put it up. They move it. They carry it, all that kind of stuff. They're busy all the time. There's thousands of them. There's thousands of them, see. But then there's a high priest that's in charge of all that. And so the tithe that we're talking about here this morning, the crops, the tithes, the animals, is for the upkeep of the Levites. That's what it's for. See, they got it all. These Levites, they spend all of their time serving and ministering to God's people. And the tithe was to provide for them. They slaughtered animals. They offered sacrifices. They hauled off ashes. They moved the tabernacle. They do not have time to farm. They don't even have any land to farm on. They can't. So the people bring the tithes to them. They put it in a storehouse that we'll read about after a while. And that is their provision. They do not have time to farm and go to market and get food, you see. So the rest of the people of Israel were to bring them the tithes, which was food, agriculture. That's what the tithe was in the Old Testament. They didn't have time to do it. The tithes of the land were brought to them to a central location. If you brought money, as I said a while ago, you have to add 20% to it. They were not to bring sick or sorry animals, but the best right off the top. That's what they had to bring. He doesn't want the culls, and that was a command for the Jews, the nation of Israel. They had to do it. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, go to the next book in the Bible. It's the book of Numbers. The book of Numbers, chapter number 18. Numbers, chapter number 18. And we'll start with verse number 20. Chapter number 18 and verse number 20. Now this tells you somewhat more about what I just told you. Numbers, chapter number 18 and verse number 20, it says, and the Lord spake unto Aaron. Look what he says. Thou, Aaron is a Levite. Thou shalt have no inheritance in their land, neither shalt thou have any part among them. I am thy part and thine inheritance among the children of Israel. See, so the Levites got no land. He said, I'm your inheritance. Verse 21, and behold, I have given the children of Israel all the tenth, the children of Levi, all the tenth. in Israel for an inheritance, for their service which they serve, even the service of the tabernacle of the congregation. Neither must the children of Israel henceforth come nigh the tabernacle of the congregation, lest they bear sin and die. In other words, nobody else but the Levites can serve in the tabernacle. Only these Levites. Anybody else, they can die by going up there, going in there. You see, they don't do that. There's a king by the name of King Saul, and he thought he could offer a sacrifice himself, and he did, and he lost the kingdom. He lost the kingdom. Verse number 22, neither must the children of Israel henceforth come nigh the tabernacle of the congregation, lest they bear sin and die. But the Levites shall do the service of the tabernacle of the congregation, and they shall bear their iniquity. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations that among the children of Israel they have no inheritance. Verse number 24, but the tithes of the children of Israel, which they offer as an heave offering unto the Lord, I have given to the Levites to inherit. Therefore have I said unto them, among the children of Israel, they shall have no inheritance. Let me see if I'm, yeah, let me read a little bit more. Verse number 25, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, thus speak unto the Levites, and say unto them, when ye take of the children of Israel the tithes, which I have given you from them for your inheritance, then you shall offer up an heave offering of it for the Lord, even a tenth part of the tithe. And this is your heave offering. And this your heave offering shall be reckoned unto you as though it were the corn of the threshing floor, as of the fullness of the winepress. Thus ye also shall offer an heave offering unto the Lord of all your tithes, which ye receive of the children of Israel, and ye shall give thereof the Lord's heave offering to Aaron the priest. What he's saying right there is, what was given to the Levites, the tenth of all the people was given to them, and then they would take a tenth of that and they would offer it back to the Lord. They themselves had to tithe. And so they would take of that and they would burn it up. That's giving it back to the Lord. They would make a heave offering like this and burn it up, see. And they had to tithe themselves, give back to the Lord a tenth. Go to the, let me give you an illustration right now on the tenth, the tithe, giving God the first part. Y'all know, remember the story, and I can't remember it's in the book of Joshua, but we'll not turn there. But in the book of Joshua, the children of Israel, they came down to the Jordan River led by Moses, and then Moses died, and Joshua took over. And after Joshua took over, he led them across the Jordan River. You know, it parted and they went across, just like the Red Sea. They came across. When they got over there, there was a city, and they were to take all of these cities and drive the people out. And many of the people were wiped out. And I don't have time now to show you why they were wiped out, but it's because they're evil. But they were to take this land because God gave it to them. They're to take the promised land, and it was to be their land. You see, the land of Canaan, it's their land. God gave it to them. The first city they came to was a little place called Jericho. It wasn't very big, but it had big walls around it. They took that city, you know, and you probably know the story. They took that city. There's a man there by the name of Achan, and he stole some things from that because he wanted it. He coveted those things. He stole it. And God brought a curse on the whole nation because of Achan. Why did he bring a curse on the whole nation? Because of what? Achan took something. Why was that? Here's the reason why. Achan or anybody else was not allowed to take anything from the city, like the spoils of battle. They were not allowed to take anything there because it's the first city. It's the tithe. It's the tithe. And everything belonged to God. It went into the treasury of the Lord. Now, after that, on the second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, ninth, and tenth city, they could take some things. But on the first one, you don't get that. Why? Because that belongs to God. That's why Achan got in trouble. God already told him, you don't get to take anything here and keep it. Achan saw something he wanted, he coveted, and he took it. They took him out and stoned him, him and his whole family. Him and his whole family, they stoned him. That was a method of capital punishment then. Why? Because his family took part in it. You see. Turn your Bibles to the last book in the Old Testament, the book of Malachi. Malachi is a famous book on tithing. Famous book on tithing. But you never hear me talking about it in the way that some people talk about it. Malachi chapter number 1 and verse number 1. Let's look at that so we'll know who he's talking about. Look in Malachi, last book in the Old Testament, chapter 1 and verse number 1. It says, the burden of the word of the Lord to who? To Israel by Malachi. Now then, turn from there, go over to verse number 3. Or chapter number 3, I'm sorry. Chapter number 3 and look at verse number 8. Chapter number 3 and verse number 8. Malachi 3:8, will a man rob God? Would a man actually do that? He's got a question mark at the end. Of course, people do it all the time. Will a man rob God? He's talking to the nation of Israel. Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? That's what they say. God, how could we possibly rob God? And he said, you've robbed me. How? In tithes and offerings. That's what he said. Verse number 9, you're cursed with a curse. For ye have robbed me, even this what? This whole nation. Ye have robbed me. So you are cursed with a curse. The nation is cursed with a curse. You cannot be cursed as a Christian. Jesus Christ bore your curse on the cross. You can't be cursed. The Bible says in Romans 8 verse number 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. The nation of Israel was cursed because they had robbed God. Look at verse number 10. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse. He's telling them how to get over that curse and to how to get the blessings of God upon them. Of course, there are spiritual applications here. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse. See, they had a storehouse, and they brought all of the agricultural products for the Levites there. They brought them to a central location. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And you know, if you want to spiritualize this, you want to make it applicable for today, then it's spiritual meat. It's spiritual food for today, see. So that we're to support God's work so that there can be spiritual food and everything that we need there. Meet in mine house. He said, prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Verse number 11, I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall a vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all what? All nations. Look here. Jesus Christ is dealing with a nation here. Number one, he's dealing with the nation of Israel. They are a set-apart nation above all other nations as whenever they obey God. And so God is dealing with nations and all nations. See, the other nations around Israel, they will look at that nation of Israel and they'll have to say, look at them. Look at them. God has blessed them above all other nations. They don't have to borrow money. They don't have to do any of that. They've got plenty. Why? Because they brought all the tithes into the storehouse and God has poured out his blessings upon them, see? And God has removed the curse. That's what he's saying right there. That's what he's saying. He's not talking to you. He's not talking to me. But there are spiritual applications for us there. All nations shall call you blessed. For ye shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. I think that's all right there. I'm probably running out of time. Turn in your Bibles, please, now. So that's what the Old Testament says about it. Everybody get that? That's agriculture, crops, and all that kind of stuff. Support the Levites, tithes, 10%. Turn your Bibles now to the New Testament, 2 Corinthians chapter number 9. 2 Corinthians chapter number 9. It's what the Bible says in the New Testament. I'm going to show you the New Testament standard for giving. 2 Corinthians chapter number 9. You got 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians. Let me read the first 5 verses for you. It says there, here's Paul the apostle writing. He's writing to the church at Corinth. Verse number 1, it says, for as touching or as concerning the ministering to the saints, it is superfluous for me to write to you. What he's saying there, that word superfluous, he said it's unnecessary for me because I've already said more than enough. It is superfluous for me to write to you, for I know the frowardness of your mind, for which I boast of you to them of Macedonia, that Achaia, was ready a year ago, and your zeal hath provoked very many. Yet have I sent the brethren, lest our boasting of you should be in vain in this behalf, that as I said, you may be ready. Lest haply, if they of Macedonia come with me and find you unprepared, he, that we say not ye, should be ashamed in this same confident boasting. Therefore I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren that they would go before unto you and make up beforehand your bounty, whereof ye had notice before, that the same might be ready as a matter of bounty and not of covetousness. So here's what he's saying right there. Paul is saying to this church, I'm coming by your church, y'all are taking up an offering, and when I come, I want it ready whenever I get there. That's what he's saying. I don't want to have to wait on it. I want it ready, so therefore I'm sending some men ahead of time to help you out with that. Look at verse number 6. Verse number 6 is the law of the harvest. Verse number 6, 7, and 8 is the standard, the New Testament standard for giving. Verse number 6, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly. When he says soweth sparingly, he's talking about, here we are in the New Testament now, he's talking about money and offering. He which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. So what he's saying right there is this, sowing and reaping, the law of sowing and reaping, the way that you sow, that is the way that you will reap. So if you sow nothing, you will reap nothing. If you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. See, you want to reap 1%, then sow 1%. You want to reap 10%, then sow 10%, 15%, 20%. So that's what he's talking about there. That is the law of the harvest. There's a lot more that could be said there. You always reap what you sow. You always reap more than you sow. You always reap later than you sow. That's the law of the harvest there. Talks about that also in Galatians. Look at verse number 7. Every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. See, now that does not sound like the Old Testament giving over there to the Levites. It says there in that verse number 7, that every man is to take part. He is to purpose in his heart. Number 3, he is to give. He is not to give grudgingly. If you have to grit your teeth, when you put that dollar bill in there, don't give that dollar bill, you see. The dollar bill reminds me of a little joke I heard, if I can bring it up. I heard about this banker. And the banker had to work one night, and he was working late, and the vault was open in the bank there. And he walked by the vault, and he heard some talking in there. And he looked in there, and the money was talking back and forth to itself. There's a $50 bill and a $20 bill and a $1 bill. And the $50 bill said to the $20, said, how about you? Where all have you been? And the $20 bill said, oh, I've been all around. I've been to restaurants, and I've been to dollar stores, and I've been to you know, this place and that place. And the $20 bill said to the $50 bill, and how about you? Where have you been? Oh, he said, man, I've been all over the place. I've been all around the world. I've been to airports. I've been in clothing stores. I've been in, I've been in expensive restaurants. I've been a lot of places. The $50 bill and the $20 bill looked over in the corner, and there's a $1 bill over there. And he looked kind of sad. And they said to him, they said, and where have you been? Where have you been? And the $1 bill said, oh, me? Well, I've been to church. That's all I've been to. Y'all get that? You know, $1. You know, fold up the $1 bill and put it in. I'm just kidding, folks. Just kidding. You want to reap from 1%, then give 1%. You want to reap off 10%, then give 10%. 15%, 20%, you see, all of that. I've done this for many years. I've done this for many, 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 many years. Not because I have to, but because I want to, because we love God. You see, why would anybody want to wait till the end of the week and throw in something that may be left over? I don't do that. You don't have to do what I'm doing. I'm just using an example. I have a box in a drawer, and my wife has instructions, you write the check first. First thing, you write the check for God. You put it in that box and it stays there, and you bring it to church when it comes time to go to church. That's what we do every time. And God's blessed us for that, you see. And one other verse there, I believe it says, one other thing let me mention here. You want to make God happy, he says there, not grudgingly or of necessity. In other words, you don't need to give because somebody shows you a picture of a bunch of starving kids. You see, everybody's got a ministry and needs television, you know, all that kind of stuff. They got a ministry and they put these pictures up there. And you don't need to give. It says of necessity and not grudgingly. God loveth a cheerful giver. You want to make God happy? Then give cheerfully. Be glad to do it. Look at one more verse, verse number 8. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. You see, that is the New Testament standard of giving. We are to give because we love God. Here's the thing. Listen carefully. God will see to it that we do not miss it and that we will have what we need. We will have what we need. That's what God says. You see, it has certainly been true to me. He says here that the grace of God will come your way. One other scripture, and I'm finished. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. You know what? I don't want to go there. Don't go there. I need to just give you my last part here for the sake of time. Don't go there, but just listen carefully. I do believe in tithing, and I teach tithing, but I teach it like this. I teach it like this. I believe that tithing is good, but it is not a law. It is not a law. It is not part of the Old Testament law. We should not give like that. I believe tithing is good because it is organized. It is not haphazard. God is an organized God. As I said, we should not wait till the end of the week and just throw in something that is left over. A third reason I believe tithing is good because it is completely fair for all. Completely fair for all. Somebody makes $100, give $10. You can't give God or make $10, give God $1. All the young people in here, you should be giving. You should teach your kids. You should teach them. They get $10 in a week, they ought to give God $1. And they ought to give him some for missions. If you don't teach your kids like that, shame on you. You don't teach your young people to give, that's a shame. You should do that. They should be doing it. Everyone should be taking part. It is completely fair for all, from the youngest to the oldest person. It's fair for everyone. Why in the world would we think, that God would want us to give less under grace, which we're under, than under law? Where would we get that idea, you see? I've always given tithes and offerings, given to missions. Offerings go to missions, you see. If everyone tithed in the church, there would be plenty. There would be plenty. We waste nothing. Just about a month ago, about 2-3 weeks ago, we paid a bill here. We had to pay the insurance bill. 6 months, we paid it $2,250, something somewhere around that neighborhood. That's a bunch of money for our little church here. You know, just to have insurance on the property here, the building and parsonage and these two vans out here, things like that. See, we have those kinds of expenses. I would love to have the church building painted, but man, it costs $5,200 to paint the front and the back and the porch under there and all that kind of stuff, so I don't know if we should do that or not. So anyway, tithes and offering. And here, in conclusion, let me say it like this. If you're here and you're not saved, God Almighty is the greatest giver of all. The Bible says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He is the source of all of our blessings so that we might give. He gave him so that we could have everlasting life. If you are saved here this morning, you have a home in heaven because God gave for you. Amen. Let us bow our heads, please.